Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
What a terrific day's racing it was, both at Caulfield and Rosehill yesterday. They'll be the focus of our review, and Brendan Delaney and Dean Lester about to join me. And before I go to Dino, who had a terrific day yesterday, five winners on the trot in the middle of the program, man. Very much present on the spring ticket, tipping winners right through the afternoon. And unfortunately, Dino, you left your microphone on at a couple of stages during the day, and our techs out the back were able to record this little snippet during the afternoon. Dino, that didn't really sound like you, but when you get that excited, I suppose your voice changes a bit. He's very excited, Dino. He's so excited he's speechless. And what a great day you did have there. Let's welcome Dean Lester into the coverage. Good morning to you, Dino. Still shouting and screaming. Brendan Delaney, how excited were you yesterday?
I was excited cheering on Dino's winners. He had a day out of the box there yesterday. Dino's turn for technical issues this week. But, no, it was a great day's racing and really enjoyed Russian Camelot putting them away. It was good to see him come out and really stamp himself as a horse that's going to be competitive in the big time.
You got me at all? One, two, three. You got me got there?
Is that you there, Dino? We got you this morning. Let's have a listen to how Russian Camelot put the field away in the Underwood Stakes, and we'll get Dino online shortly.
Now Trap for Fools is going to try and seal it up. Led three quarters of a length to Russian Camelot, who's nice and close. Arcadia Queen behind them from Galo Shop, Sosie Bon, A Gap Humidor, the chosen one. Trap for Fools left the fence. Russian Camelot brought towards the middle of the track, and he's hit the front. Arcadia Queen back to the inside. They're worlds apart. Then Humidor approaching the 200. Russian Camelot shook up by Oliver. Arcadia Queen is going with him. Russian Camelot led by three quarters. Arcadia Queen, Humidor, Galo Shop, but Russian Camelot's coming clear. He could be anything. He's class. Russian Camelot won at two lengths, Humidor. Third Arcadia Queen from Galo Shop, Trap for Fools Harbour.
And Brendan, great to see him win with a positive ride from Ollie and the manner of a really good weight for age horse being able to ride the speed and put the field away.
Yeah, that was the surprising part, wasn't it? Just before they jumped, looked as though he might have been just half leaning on the back of the gate. There was a man there behind him just leaning on the gate, maybe just trying to push him up and get him off leaning on the back. But he jumped, he went forward, he sat out Trap for Fools. And you knew at the 700, when they were starting to wind up with Trap for Fools, you thought, well, we're really going to see what he's made of here and if he's up to this class. And he ticked every box when the speed went on. I think he might have enjoyed it a little bit more than what he had from coming from the back of the field right up there at the business end, and he coped with it well and he put them away. What do we make of the horses behind? Arcadia Queen probably didn't get the best ride back down to the inside. Humidor's arguably nearly in career best form. Go back to when he was a Caulfield Cup favourite and ran Winks to a small margin in a Cox Plate. But then you got to take Galo Shop. Is he coming back and Trap for Fools? He's beaten some horses that a few years ago would have been the headline acts themselves, but he's beat them, and I think we're not going to get a real guide on him maybe until we see some international representation later on in the spring.
Dino, you're with us now. We're just trying to get your line up this morning, hoping we've got you there now, Dino.
Warren, have you got me?
Oh, I have got you there, Dino. I tried to do a little bit of comedy with some lines from Let It Ride before. Fell very flat. Might leave that to Sam Pang and Mick Malloy in the future.
Yeah, I heard it fine, actually, Warren. I was saying I didn't remember the sounding like Richard Dreyfuss, but anyway, there you go. No, it was a good day. And joining in on the Russian Camelot chat, he was really solid. I mean, that's what you wanted to see from him in that race. Nothing more, nothing less, but he's ticking over well.
From the overall shape of the race, how did it meet what you were expecting?
Trap for Fools led about 3.5 lengths below standard, and we're racing on rain-affected ground, and he ramped it up from the 800 to the 400 as you would have expected, and Russian Camelot obviously had the nice increase into the race. His sectional times were, it was a beautifully constructed ride by Oliver to give the horse every chance to show what he can do, and he did it very well. As Brendan mentioned, Humidor, his overall figure wasn't quite as good as probably he's hit the mark in the past, but his mid-race, or his work from the 800 to the 400, was really strong. You know, he really increased and in a strong gallop, and then maintained it to the line, and probably didn't get as wide as the others. And I heard Brendan mention about Acadia Queen. I know she drew barrier one, but I was still surprised there wasn't an effort to try and get to better ground. But in a really detailed explanation on Tab Touch Radio on their Twitter page, William Pike explained that he thought hard on the fence was okay, so he went there.
Yeah, great explanation from Willie. I saw that. Ideally, I think he said he would have liked to have get out to the middle of the track, but that opportunity wasn't there. So he thought rather than be two or three off the fence, that riding hard against the fence, if he could maintain that line, wasn't a disadvantage. So good to see Willie explaining that situation, Dino, because I heard you commenting post-race with Michael Felgate that, you know, obviously the runners had been coming to the middle of the track. So there was an explanation from Willie that he thought that hard against the fence, Dino, was somewhere that he wasn't going to be disadvantaged, but in an ideal world, he probably would have been out there in the proximity to Russian Camelot.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is that probably Acadia Queen proved yesterday. I think she's going well. I just think she probably needs a bit drier ground than that yesterday. And, I think she's ticking over nicely, and she could be one of the major players towards the Cox Plate over the domestic horses anyway.
What did we learn heading towards a Cox Plate out of this race yesterday?
Well, it was certainly Russian Camelot to the averages and everything, his best performance. So that's what you want to see. He's going forward, and he put them away nicely. That they were the older horses just behind. I'm not giving up on Acadia Queen, at least as a place chance towards a race like the Cox Plate, but for a wait for age race, that's where it ends. I think the disappointment was probably Mr. Quickie, whether he wasn't quite as comfortable on that ground or didn't fire second up, but he was entitled to probably go home a bit better than that on the strength of his first up run, because the form around that race has worked out quite well.
What did you make of it from a Cox Plate perspective, Brendan?
Well, Russian Camelot's the one with his hand up, isn't he? He's leading the charge. Old Humidor might be able to go there and give it a shake again. He's got that free pass in. They can just plot their course to get there now. Acadia Queen, if she can get out and maybe a looping run or something like that, she's not without a chance. But if you're picking a Cox Plate one out of that, you'd be well and truly with the winner.
We'll talk about the other Group 1 this side of Australia yesterday, the Golden Rose now, and then go back to the top of the program at Caulfield. The Golden Rose was seen as Rothfire versus the Might of Team Hawks.
Rothfire held together at the 350. Now Byrne gives him the rev up, and he raced 2.5 lengths clear from American. Then Pelserolle, Kirk and North Pacific down the outside. Rothfire leads at the 175. Here they come. Ole Kirk and North Pacific the outside. Ole Kirk, North Pacific, stride for stride. Ole Kirk, North Pacific, bob of the heads. Ole Kirk. Ole Kirk just won the Golden Rose from North Pacific. I think King's Legacy ran home into third, followed by Rothfire.
Sad news this morning, Brendan, coming through. Rothfire notified as lame yesterday, but a more serious injury, potentially even a fractured sesamoid bone for Rothfire. So not good news for Rothfire and Connections, but good performances from the three place getters.
Yeah, Ole Kirk, North Pacific have been building towards this race nicely. We've seen Ole Kirk charge home last time out. North Pacific chase Rothfire as well at his most recent assignment. Brave effort by Rothfire for him to finish as close as he did with the injuries come out of it with. Maybe that was done past the line, but maybe it was done when he was just starting to weaken at the 300. He got taken on. He was going to stop at some stage, you would have thought, with Nashua kicking up underneath him and making him work early, and it was set up for two horses to come for the back. And the Hawks team are so good at targeting these races with their colts, and they've got it spot on here. I'm not sure they would have been too disappointed either way with the Ole Kirk or North Pacific, but he'd promised to win a good race, Ole Kirk, and he delivered. King's Legacy long way back, ran well. Peltzer was just okay, but the first two were really impressive.
How did you see the Golden Rose, Dino?
Yeah, it was a fierce tempo, Warren. They really ran it along about 8 lengths above standard. In saying that, that's about the speed that Rothfire went when he led in the JJ Atkins, so he has led at that sort of speed before, and that's probably his strong suit. But yeah, you can tell about 200 out, he just wandered off a bit, and whether that's when he hurt himself because he really lost his action there. And Ole Kirk and North Pacific were there to pounce, and they're both very good horses, and I like their strength at the end of a really tough race. King's Legacy, just the Snowdens are very good at winning the Caulfield Guineas, as are the Hawkses, and you can just see that he's building to a peak run next time. He's run very well, but I think 1600 next time, he's a good chance of at least the matching or even turning the tables from that performance yesterday. He's going very well.
And how do you think that form lines up with Glenfiddich from Friday night and the Stud Stakes at Moonee Valley and the Guineas Prelude for the boys yesterday?
Well, I'm just using the Champagne Stakes as my form line, Warren. King's Legacy beat Glenfiddich and Ole Kirk in that race. They're all in form, so you know that pretty much there's not a lot between them. And that was at 1600, so we're not guessing about the 1600 with any of those three horses. That they can achieve that, and it promises to be a tremendous race, I think.
You got a thought there, Brendan?
Just leaning towards him, just looking at racing patterns, maybe advantage Glenfiddich at the moment, just for the fact that he's going to be up on speed and he'll get the chance to control the race rather than King's Legacy and Ole Kirk that have a tendency to get back. So after Glenfiddich's performance up on the speed on Friday night, maybe he's just got a little advantage on them at the moment if he can get up on speed and control it.
And obviously sad news, Dino, with Rothfire pulling up with that injury, so we're not going to see him for a little while. We just hope that that Rob Heathcote and Connections can get him back at some stage.
Yeah, terrible luck for them because he's a really exciting horse, and I think he'd have added a lot to the Everest. I think for those that like Nature Strip in the Everest, they'll be very happy to not see him there because he was certainly the pressure. But I just hope they can get him back. He's a young horse and a gelding, so hopefully that they can get him back and firing whenever the injury heals.
Plenty of love for you, Dino, via the SMS that started yesterday and has continued on. Offers of people who've got friends with Armaguard to help you get the money to the bank if you need any assistance that way. And as I said, plenty of love for you via the SMS, and some support for you, Brendan, just regarding the field and the Underwood Stakes yesterday. Not necessarily a blue ribbon field, and an ageing humidor, Arcadia Queen coming off back and hoof issues. And I think, Dino, you're certainly not saying that Russian Camelot's got the world at his feet following that win yesterday, but the win was good enough without putting him quite into, say, you think, territory yet.
Yeah, he's going the right way. That's the thing. With every run, he's learning and he's getting a little bit more experience and he's coping with his racing. And, I think that's the key to what we're seeing him unfold, whereas a horse like, say, you think burst on the scene as a three-year-old, and then we saw him win these races as a four-year-old, knowing that he was still off his peak. This horse is still in the development phase, and he's going very well.
You're very observant of watching horses and how they run, Dino, and Harib is a regular contributor via SMS. I notice Russian Camelot has a unique action with his front legs, very distinctive. Have you noticed anything about Russian Camelot that you think's a little bit unique in terms of his action?
Well, he doesn't chop and change legs very often. That's one thing I've noticed, and he maintains to one side of his body a lot. But he's very I think it's a fairly pure action, to be honest. And I think he's and that's why he can sort of go on all ground.
Hariba's likened him to a rocking horse. I think he's a very fast rocking horse if he's a rocking horse. But Hariba very observant of the action of Russian Camelot. Plenty more love for you via the SMS, Dino. They were the two Group 1s, both at Rosehill and Caulfield yesterday. We'll take a short break on RSN 927. Go back to the top of the card at Caulfield. Racing at Caulfield yesterday kicked off with the mares running over 1,100 metres. Craig Williams, the first leg of a winning double aboard Pinion.
Kalkani Royale held together in the straight at the 300 from How Womatic, given its head. Elgadon missed the outside. Pinion runs up behind them from Be My Star at the 200. Kalkani Royale with Elgadon miss. How Womatic needs to find in the middle. Elgadon miss moves up. Pinion's the late closer over on the far side and might beat them all. Pinion! Pinion's won it from How Womatic, who lifted, then Elgadon miss. Kalkani Royale. Next goal.
Back near the inside, Dino, Craig Williams, with a horse we know that's got a good sprint on her, Pinion. What was your take on this race?
Well, as Pinion does, she ran the best sectionals of the day. But the last two runs, that's translated into two wins, and she's been able to get to the line. So, you know, we've known that she's very consistent, and now she's, you know, getting the breaks go away. The small field, I think, suited, and they didn't go that hard in this race. I thought Kelcani Royale led at a pretty leisurely speed by How Romantic standards, and I thought probably Lockie Neundorf rode to Kelcani Royale's speed rather than using his own speed. And I think he probably should have rolled along a little bit harder, but in saying that, Pinion was just getting momentum and building, and as I said, the best 800, 600, 400, 200 of the meeting, thanks to daily sectional times. So, yep, she's doing a good job, and she was the winner, I think, probably closest to the rail for the day, so she did a good job.
What was your take on the first, Brendan?
Nice to see Pinion get close and come with a finish rather than standing them up 15 or so when it's time for her to launch and reel off those sectionals. She's put a couple together now, so maybe she can continue on. As Dino outlined, closest win to the fence. She was good there yesterday. How Romantic battled on well. Elkid on Miss got there to win the race and maybe just peaked out a little bit late. Kelcani Royale, good return. Nice to see Golden Halo get back and run on in a race that was controlled by those closer to the speed. She had to make the looping run and was running on, but she hasn't won a race since she won at Swan Hill going back a couple of years ago, and that was in a benchmark 64, so it'd be nice to see her step up and pick up another race in town.
Mares at benchmark 90 level, kicking off the card at Caulfield yesterday over 1,100 metres. We're out to 1,400 metres for race four, a benchmark, race two, a benchmark 78.
Into the running at the 350. Sunday Prey and Easy Beast together. Two lengths jittery. Jack Moore wanted, tried and tied. Rich Hips presents to the middle of the track. Power Schemers angling to the outside. Easy Beast took the front at the 200. Rich Hips is the danger. Rich Hips moves up to Easy Beast. Power Scheme is coming home well, but it's Rich Hips clear. And Rich Hips won it. Second Easy Beast, third Power Scheme from Duke of Plumpton.
Rainbow Thief racing four wide without cover, noted in the stewards report, and pulling up lame in the near foreleg, Brendan. So perhaps a forgive run for Rainbow Thief. What was your take on this race?
Race that they rolled along, Sunday Prey, Easy Beast, up on the tempo. Sunday Prey dropped off, Easy Beast gave a kick, and probably just the last 50 metres of the 1400 sees him out. And Rich Hips was the one that had the right running behind him. Of those coming from the back, had race fitness on her side, midfield, peeled out and finished the best. You could easily make a case that Power Scheme beats Rich Hips with a little bit of luck, just had the momentum stop at a vital stage coming to the turn, and his closing effort was really good. Clean Achiever, good down the outside. Nice return. Duke of Plumpton, Grand Deflora kicking off their campaigns. You'd think they could only improve off that, but Rich Hips had the right running behind what was probably a favourable tempo for Rich Hips to win, but it could have been very different had Power Scheme got out at the top of the straight.
How'd this race set up, Dino?
Yeah, they ran along at an even speed. I think probably on paper it looked like they'd go a bit harder here, but they did ramp it up from the 800, so those horses that were off speed could get into the race. And I think when you're reviewing this race or you're marking them going forward, I think you could say Rich Hips and Power Scheme probably finish about on terms. You know, Rich Hips got the lovely ride and deserved the win. She's been going okay. And Power Scheme first up just held up at that crucial stage. So I think they both went pretty well for this grade. Duke of Plumpton closed off quite nicely. His run was good. I wonder if he's heading towards that country championship series that culminates on Oaks Day, something like that. He looked to go okay. I thought Clean Achiever for the right race went very, very well. She was home in the 10th best last 200 of the meeting. So for a mare of her standard that can get over a bit further, that was a really encouraging run. Only off a short break. Wonder if she'll step straight up into a race like the Pinker Pinker or a mare's race in the next few weeks. She could run very well.
One for you, Brendan, via the SMS, just saying that you are the most enjoyable greyhound caller. So nice to know someone is a fan of your multi-skills, Brendan.
Yeah, got a bit of, well, two codes in last week, so sometimes it's three, sometimes we do a little bit more, but always nice to get out to the dogs. It's an enjoyable way to spend your week anyway.
Plenty more via the SMS, just saying, just hold your horses a little bit and don't concede everything for the sprinter Russian Camelot yet. That there was a good performance yesterday, but not necessarily changing the world. Things started to improve for Dean Lester yesterday in race three over 2,000 metres when Damien Lane got Saracen Knight over the top of Irish Flame.
as no effort with a sustained run at the 400 metres has gone to the front from Lord Boozer on. Go to Lean, good idea. Then came LaBau, who's still there in the middle. Back towards the inside, Skyman. Irish Flame runs on, then Saracen Knight. No effort. 200 metres to go, making it a real test. Irish Flame is the threat. Irish Flame takes no effort. Saracen Knight late, but it's Irish Flame coming clear with 100 metres to go for Walker. Saracen Knight's flying at Irish Flame, who needs the light of the Knights got it. Saracen Knights nabbed it. Beat Irish Flame, who got tired. No effort third. For fourth is a photo. Don't doubt Dory.
Well, take us through your raft of emotions as this race was unfolding, Dino.
Yeah, there was quite a few, Warren, to be honest. It was all going along well. Good speed up front. Lord Boozer on ran them along about 8 lengths above standard, which is what he tends to do. And then just when he came up for air, the next wave came at him, and that was good. If you're on Saracen Knight, you're thinking this is a good pressure race. And then at the turn, when everything started to stop in his face, an Irish Flame beautifully ridden into the race, was probably being hailed the winner. Saracen Knight somehow got out, and that last 200 metre surge in a really hard, fast run race, he was terrific to the line, and shows that I think he's got plenty of stamina for a horse that we've only seen twice in 2 years. This was quite a good win.
Probably always shaped up as a reasonably solidly run race. Good idea and no effort probably ensured that a fair way from home. Stewards spoke to both Michael Poy and Jason Maskell. What was your take on their performances, Dean?
Yeah, well, no effort was tremendous. She likes to roll along on the speed, but I thought it was a pretty attacking move, coming to the turn, because, you always see in those 2,000 metre races, if they go hard at Caulfield, when they come off the downhill run there at the 1,000, they come up for air for a little bit, and they usually creep into the race, but those two were aggressively put into the race, and no effort held on really well, I thought, and ran a good race. I thought it showed that it was a real stayers race. Cinder Wind first up at 2,000 metres, getting home and running fourth. Don't Doubt Dory, he was okay. That was the highest pressure race he's ever been in, so I think he'll benefit from that run as well.
How'd you see this race, Brendan?
Yeah, Saracen Knight got a lovely ride through. I thought Skyman, maybe if Craig Williams had his time again, he mightn't have used him in that early part of the race. He was caught wide and he drove him forward. He ended up getting in a good spot over on the fence, but just maybe that little bit of work took a bit of sting out of his finish. He was back down towards the inside, and he was one of the speed humps that Saracen Knight had to negotiate coming to the turn. So maybe a ride further back in the field might be the go for him next time to come with a run like the winner. Irish Flame was good. No effort runs at usual, honest race. And LaBau, maybe, I know he's pulled up lame and had an excuse there, but the high pressure of that race yesterday, something that would be foreign to him. He would have never, come into a race where they try and stop and then the pressure comes on again, and maybe he just got the better of him there yesterday. The experience will probably do him the world of good, you would think, and we'll wait and see how he comes through, what degree of lameness that he had to where he goes next time.
Danny O'Brien outlining, Dean, that it may be another benchmark racing out to 2,400 metres for Saracen Knight, and then maybe on to some better races. What do you think might be a realistic spring objective for him?
Yeah, well, I think that's, the Team Williams have used that 2,400 metre race before on the middle day of the Caulfield Cup Carnival, and then maybe, I think he probably, if he won that, deserves a shot at a Bendigo Cup and Queen Elizabeth or something like that going through the program. But he's... I think he's quite an impressive horse, and to do this straight away off 2 years off just shows he's probably had a good foundation on him originally at Macedon Lodge, and then now at Danny O'Brien's, he's going very well.
A few more via the SMS, just heading back to Sydney. Morning, guys. I thought King's Legacy was a great run towards the Guineas. You've already indicated that you thought that was the case, Dino, that he's on track heading towards 1,600 metres, King's Legacy.
Yeah, he's going very well, and he's just come in that little bit, I think, quieter in Sydney with the building towards the Guineas, and it's great to see that the Guineas is going to be the highlight race, I think, for the 3-year-olds in the spring, because in recent years the Coolmore's been the one, but I think the Guineas is the race that's shaping with four or five seriously good 3-year-old colts.
And it might have been tongue-in-cheek that Neil Werrett was suggesting to Michael Horse that Ole Kirk might even head towards an Everest. But I suppose Dino won via the SMS saying surely he's much better suited to a mile. But I suppose there's a precedent now with Yes, Yes, Yes coming back from a Golden Rose to the Everest. So I suppose if you've got a horse finishing strongly in a Golden Rose, you're potentially going to think about a slot in the Everest if one becomes available.
Well, he's a valuable colt. He's won his Group 1. He's a son of Written Tycoon out of a sister to Black Caviar. So yeah, he gives every impression he'd run a mile and maybe further. But you know he'd be really strong at 1,200. And I think he's got the value of for a stallion on the board now. So that could be very tempting to go for the big money, especially with a group of those guys having a slot in the Everest themselves.
One from Sandy from Rye, wondering why we haven't discussed much about Masked Crusader's performance. We'll get to that later, Sandy. We haven't forgotten Masked Crusader, but there was plenty of other performances to discuss around Australia yesterday. And Coruscate was one of those, down from Sydney, James Cummings and Damien Oliver combining in the Testarossa Stakes.
So it's Runson coming up towards the turns, had a peach in front at the 400 metres, a length and a quarter, Coruscate. Order of Command brought to the middle of the track, still with 2.5 to make up, followed by Bravo Tango. Runson called upon at the 250, but Coruscate with big strides moves up and heads it. Coruscate takes the lead from Runson. Bravo Tango, Order of Command not getting there, but it's Coruscate. Kicks away. Oliver looks over the shoulder. It's over. Coruscate will win the Testarossa. Coruscate well tried, won at two lengths. Head Bobber second, Order of Command or Runson, then Bravo Tango.
As Matty Hill said, Brendan, the money came for Coruscate, and I think the way the race shaped up pretty soon after the start, the punters were on pretty good terms with themselves that had been part of that chime in.
Yes, most certainly. Runson led, he built it up, and all the while Coruscate was just sitting there waiting for his cue to go out and chase. Runson battled on well, Order of Command. That was a nice enough effort from him, and Bravo Tango just peaked out a little bit late on his run, but he's come back in good fettle, but the race just set up perfectly for Coruscate. Ollie got him into a lovely little spot there in behind Runson, and he was able to go on and do the damage for the favourite backers. Order of Command, you'd think it's shaping up nicely for him for a race down the straight at Flemington. Street Icon closed off okay again from the back of the field, but no, panned out beautifully for the winner.
What's your take here, Dino?
Yeah, look, I thought, Warren, that he was the horse that probably been set for the race and got conditions to suit. A horse like Runson is a really good 1,200-metre horse, but I think he's better on dry ground. An Order of Command, we know that he went in without a jump out, so he'll improve. It was pretty straightforward for Coruscate, really. I think on drier ground, I think Runson's going really well. His first up run showed that. He wasn't suited by the conditions yesterday. I think he gets on a nice firm track where he can roll along at a fast speed, which he likes. He can win pretty soon.
Ian from Ballarat's been busy via the SMS, Dino. Can we give Damien Lane a pat on the back for his ride on Saracen Knight? Well, you'd certainly like to, Dino. Is there any doubt he's the best staying race jockey in Australia? Do you think Damien Lane's got an advantage in staying races, Dino, or is he just a great jockey full stop?
Well, he's a great jockey full stop because we saw him win on Pippi Friday night, and that was a pretty fast race. He's got he's got a great ability for horses to relax for him. We saw that in the feature races last spring. And his persistence yesterday, I mean, I think when he got checked at the top of the straight, there could have been not a give-up factor, but, just get him out and just sort of roll home. But he just kept at him, and he's a tremendous rider, Damien Lane, and he's just building. I think he's on a great chance probably to win the Derby with Ain't No Deal Done, who won it to Sale during the week, and he's shaping nicely for other feature races.
Any thoughts there, Brendan?
Yeah, it helps when you're riding some of the better horses in the staying races as well, though. That's always a positive, but the composure yesterday, he could have tried to force his way out, but he played the percentages nearer the inside, had to overcome a little bit of trouble, but he's riding in great form, as Dino outlined with Pippi up on the speed on Friday night. He can do it over dual distance, but there is some advantage when you're on the better horses.
And, Dino, you referenced that in that race, Irish Flame looked the winner. There's one via the SMS. Do you think Michael Walker saw Saracen Knight coming?
I think he did. I thought he would have heard him, I think. And they were fairly close together, so he'd have known. But, I think look, Irish Flame had done a great job, but he was right out on empty, as most of them were in that race. The sectional times show that they were very, very tired, as you know, expected. The winner, he rushed home as he did, but he ran 12:38 his last 200 metres. And the second and third horses ran home 13:06 and 13:60 respectively. So it was a real race of attrition. So, I think Irish Flame, I don't think Michael Walker could have done much more.
Race 5 at Caulfield yesterday, basically two teams. There was Team Windstorm and Team Buffalo River. They fought the race out.
Buffalo River stokes it up, coming up towards the turn. Deliberately stays off the fence. Morrissey's got the run up on the inside. Buffalo River about five off the rails. Elsven a length away from Simply Invincible, and Windstorm to the outside. Morrissey drives through and joins Buffalo River as they reach the 250. It's Morrissey and Buffalo River, and Windstorm is charging home. Buffalo River and Morrissey with Windstorm. A three-way go, but Windstorm over the top takes them and will win. Windstorm a half, Buffalo River, Morrissey. Goldfields possibly.
Competitive race, Dino. Windstorm and Buffalo River fighting out favouritism. How did you see it?
Yeah, it was a terrific contest. Interesting race, because it'll be interesting to see, with regards firstly to Buffalo River, whether he's learning to relax and he might be ready to go further, or he's just not going that well, because he led at about 11 lengths below standard on soft ground, but when he led on heavy ground at Caulfield, same track and distance, when he won, he led it four lengths above standard, so he's going a lot harder. Was he going too hard and too keenly, and he's now learnt to relax, or he's just not in absolute peak form? We'll see probably his next couple of runs. Whereas I think Windstorm's building well. What I liked about him was his closing speed, second best last 200 of the meeting, and really ran through the line well. He looked as though he was going to get a bit keen early, and he sort of threw the head around it a bit about the 900, but then he got into a rhythm. And he won well, and I think he could go into a 1600, even a high pressure 1600, and run well. He could go to the Toorak and certainly be competitive if they went that path. But I think a high pressure race will suit him a lot better.
How do you see this race, Brendan?
Windstorm speed was okay for him, as Dean outlined. If you have a look at the replay, it's with that low tracking shot that they show for a couple of strides at the 900. He was just about ready to get up and start pulling a bit, but they kept the foot down, which suited him. He finished off well on one. Buffalo River, a little bit of a verdict outrun, as Dino's already outlined. Morrissey solid back to the inside. Like the way Goldfields is coming along. His first up run was really good. Good closing effort there again yesterday, and Adelaide Ace, I thought, did enough back to the inside to suggest that maybe back off the speed is something for him, but just going to have to work out what distance that is. Is he a back run on maybe 2,000 metre horse when they thought he might be a bit more of a miler up on speed? It's going to be interesting to see where they head with him, but Goldfields is definitely a horse I'll be following out of this race.
Yeah, Brendan's reference, Goldfields. Dino, from a closing sectional time point of view, how did his performance stack up?
Yeah, really good, Warren. We mentioned him on the coverage yesterday that he's trending well to race. Probably last year he was competitive Sale Cup and won the Sandown Stakes and those sort of races. He's probably on the way to those again, and he was the third best last 200 of the meeting. So the winner was home in 11:76 and he was home in 11:80. Travi, my friend, was home in 11:90 and Adelaide Ace 11:98. They were the four good closers in the race, even though the other two I've just mentioned finished well back. Goldfields is going well.
Crosshaven was a good winner on speed at Flemington. Last start, he was ridden in a similar manner in the Guineas Prelude. Dan Steckhouse maintaining the ride.
Up to the turn at the 400. National Choice by a length and a half to Crosshaven, giving strong chase in the middle of the track. Then Captain Corelli, Amish Boy, Savannah Cloud, Prague flying awards almost back to last. National Choice approaching the 200 with Crosshaven. The outside is inching into the lead. Still National Choice grabbed by Crosshaven. Then Amish Boy and Captain Corelli. But Crosshaven takes the lead in the shadows and driven out. Crosshaven won it comprehensively. Second a photo, Amish Boy or National Choice.
What's your take here, Brendan?
Don't think too many expected National Choice to roll forward. He'd been getting back and trying to make ground, but with the shades on there yesterday, they took advantage and went forward, and he ran a good race. He went a little bit keen, but he didn't go overly hard, and Crosshaven was able to tuck in behind it and get that nice run and finish over the top of him. He's really moving along nicely, Crosshaven. Going to be interesting to see how he lines up against the colts that'll come down from Sydney and line him up again with Glenfiddich heading to 1,600 metres, but he's ticking all the boxes at the moment. You can only beat who you're racing against, and he's doing that well. Amish Boy's coming along nicely after that little running behind National Choice. Much better from him yesterday. Camborne ducked and dived back to the inside. He was solid, and didn't mind the run of Savannah Cloud as well, and Prague just covered a little bit of ground and didn't quite finish it off. But as we discussed yesterday, a bit of a cross paths race, this one. Now do they drop back to the three-year-olds, drop back to that second tier of the Gothic, and then heading on towards the Carbine Club and the Sandown Guineas? Do they push on to Derbies, or do they step back in trip, or do they kick onto the Guineas? So it's going to be interesting to see where the paths take these horses, but definitely Crosshaven, he's doing all the right things at the moment, and maybe National Choice after that run, he can bounce off and run a nice race wherever he heads to next.
Paul from Adelaide's chiming in with the love for Dino, not just from yesterday, but for your tips. Much appreciated. Keep up the good work, Paul from Adelaide, Dino. And one from Julian from Parkdale. Just wondering if you can explain, when you talk about standard times, what that calculation is based on, Dino, before you give us your take on the Caulfield Guineas Prelude.
Yeah, well, I use the Vince Accardi IVR times, daily sectional times, and it's standardised to basically the first four across the line in a race, only up to good foreground, so that you don't get big discrepancies when they get on really wet ground. So it's nothing to do with class, and that's why often in a lower class you'll see a horse stand out, because they've run an above average time. So it's a good way of I think looking at the time. So that's how I'm using them. There's a lot of different ways to look at them, but that it's the way I've settled on, and I think it works pretty well. And the second part, Warren, sorry.
Well, you've settled on Crosshaven the last couple of times, and he's rewarded you well. What was your take on the race yesterday?
Look, he got a really easy time on the pace. The Price Kent stable had announced they were going to lead with National Choice. I didn't think they'd be able to do that, but because he was going 6.5 lengths below average, he was able to get there pretty comfortably. And Crosshaven settling second on a speed that he was very comfortable with. The eventual, I thought there'd be pressure from out wide. I thought maybe Azar would be going forward, but when he just was a bit sticky to begin, he probably conceded. And even Camborne, I thought, might have been a bit more in the action early, but it gave a very easy run for Crosshaven, and he's a terrific 1,400-metre horse. I don't know if it's going to extend out to 1,600 in the elite company. He'll probably have to try that in the Caulfield Guineas, but if you're saying to me, he's going to be what's he going to be good at 1,400, like these sort of races, as a four-year-old, like a Rupert Clark or something, you could see him fitting into that. But he's going very well at the moment. I think his stablemate Azar is a terrific horse too. I just don't know quite what Azar is, whether he's a better rolling, maybe 1,200 metre horse. I wonder if with the Coolmore dropping off, if he's better to freshen up and have a go at a race like the Coolmore rather than take on these absolute elite in the Guineas. So he's going very well, Azar. He just, things didn't go right for him yesterday.
Danny O'Brien telling us this morning that Flying Award might have pulled up a little bit sore behind, and Damien Oliver commenting that might have been a slight respiratory noise post-race. So just didn't see the best of Flying Award yesterday, Dean.
Yeah, he was. You could tell he had head sort of awkwardly positioned in the run, and he was either feeling something or maybe a breathing issue, and he's probably had both. So he's had a very bad day, and unfortunate, because he was shaping like a leading Guineas contender, but he fell off the radar yesterday.
What did you make of the run at Camborne?
Camborne's going well. I don't think he's a Guineas horse, and I don't know if he in one preparation he could get right through to a Derby, but he's a very nice horse in the making, and his closing speed, he really quickened up from the 400 to the 200 and kept going to the line, so his run was very good in respect of his closing speed. But I don't know if it was a Guineas closing speed. I think if he could hold together, he could be a Derby horse.
Crosshaven took out the boys' division. The Caulfield Guineas Prelude Instant Celebrity Cross from Adelaide was favourite, and 1,000 Guineas Prelude for the girls.
It's Night Raid in the straight at the 300 metres, leading personal. Mozzie Monster up on the fence. Instant Celebrity down the outside, followed by Love Sensation. Night Raid at the 200, but Instant Celebrity moves up under Hands and Heels, takes the lead from Night Raid personal. Love Sensation, Instant Celebrity in front, holding them off, and Instant Celebrity won it well. Second, close personal will get that from a wall of them. Love Sensation, Rock My Wand, Equimenical has run a big race in Night.
Wayne from Oakley, a regular contributor. Feeling for you, Wayne. Know how much you like to get trackside at Caulfield. Good morning, panel. Another excellent day's racing at Caulfield. I thought personal appeared good through the line. Did Instant Celebrity peak or get pulled up quickly after her solid win? What was your take on the 1,000 Guineas Prelude, Dino?
She was very good, Instant Celebrity. Totally different structure race to the Colts. They ran the first 600 about 4 lengths quicker and then an even speed through the middle, and that's when Craig Williams took that opportunity to get into the race, put it within two to three lengths of the lead and kept going to the line. I thought her win was good. Personal went well. I think personal will get better as the races get longer. Spoke yesterday, Brendan, that maybe Flemington might be where personal comes into her own.
Yeah, most definitely. You would think she's looking for further than 1,400 metres now, and what she pushes on to is going to be interesting. Does she head toward Oaks, maybe? She's only early on in her campaign. I thought she was really good. Night Raid up on the pace, just got a little bit tired. Giving extra points to Love Sensation. Not too many horses stuck on back to that inside section there yesterday, and she's been beaten not all that far by Personal and Night Raid, and had to come through that that inferior ground down there on the inside. So just giving her a couple of extra marks to where she heads next on towards the Guineas.
Thoughts on Instant Celebrity, Brendan, out to the 1,600 metres?
I don't think she'll have too many issues with it. We've seen fillies before that mightn't quite get 1,600 metres as they get older, be able to get away with it at three. And if there's a nice tempo in the Guineas, if she can unleash that run that we've seen in Adelaide rather than having to make the mid-race move like she did yesterday, she'll be the one scooting down the outside, catching everyone's eye. But there won't be too many issues you wouldn't have thought with her at 1,600 metres, that's for sure.
How do you see that challenge for her, Dean?
Well, she's very relaxed. I think she's going to give herself every possible chance. And I love that she was put into the race yesterday and then kept going. Her overall figure was, you know, very strong for a fillies race. You know, on this sort of day, she was, you know, to the rankings about the fifth best ranked runner of the day. So yeah, she's got she's got a little bit of depth to her pedigree. She's out of a Starcraft mare and out of a good mare in Dashing Granada, who was out of a Nassapur mare. So there's a little bit of depth there, and they're not a single doubt. Well, they can do anything. We've seen you know, Corporate Cup place getters by not a single doubt. So I think the mile won't hold any fears.
Junipel didn't get a run in the Sir Rupert Clark Stakes at Caulfield recently. He lined up over 1,700 metres in the last yesterday.
So this field's going to separate around the home corner all over the track. Shot of Irish in front of Inverloch. Junipel tanks up in the middle of the track, out beyond the middle now. And Junipel goes for home at the top of the straight. 250 metres to go. Tries to steal it from Shot of Irish, Odeon, Widgie Turf. Then Nonconformist whacking away. But Junipel, inside the 200 metres, has it shot to bits. Has raced clear and tears them apart. Junipel won the last 4 lengths. Second, Shot of Irish from Exasperate, Odeon, Widgie Turf. Then Future scored on.
Yeah, dominant victory, Junipel, in the last. Brendan, what was your take on this race?
Nice to see him come out and show us what he can really do. Junipel, he's threatened to put a few together throughout his career, but I think that little operation that he had pre this campaign has straightened him out, and he's really come back a horse that means business now. The way he travelled into that race yesterday, he's capable of winning much better than this, and hope for all those involved with him that he can go on and do it. He's going to to measure up somewhere down the line, and maybe with a little weight release somewhere, maybe at Caulfield in a couple of weeks, he might be able to put his hand up. You would think a race like the Toorak, Nice Speed, Get Back, Flood Home, he might be there with no weight on his back at a good price. Shot of Irish, got out of the gates. Jamie Mott will be thankful for that. You would think that he wasn't the third victim in as many runs. Exasperate was under pressure a long way out, stuck on well. Odeon back down towards the inside was okay. Future Score made some ground. And Widgie Turf was another one that was down there near the inside, and probably the one that wasn't all that great out of yesterday. Nonconformist was a real battling sort of run from him. He wasn't all that far off Junipal, and Junipal's beat him convincingly.
Yeah, what was your take here, Dino? Ultimately, you think that little setback that Nonconformist had might have taken a bit of its toll yesterday?
Oh, it must have, Warren. I think given the run he had and everything, you'd be disappointed that he finished where he did. I think I'd have no problem saying Junipal would beat him, but I think with the run he had, he should have gone close to placing. So that setback probably has affected him. I think if you look at Junipal's performance yesterday and you put him in the Underwood Stakes, I think he'd have probably run second. So if he goes into a handicap on the minimum weight like the Toorak, that, to me, reads very well for him. His best of days came through this race 2 years ago, got beaten in it, and ended up winning the Cantala. So I think Junipal's right on song to take his place in the Toorak and the Cantala in the next few weeks be a really good chance. He's in career best form, and things are going right for him.
Pulling up with an issue in the stewards' report, Inverloch was eased down, and post-race veterinary examination revealed the gelding to be lame behind, so veterinary clearance required for Inverloch, Dino. So we just put a pin through that run yesterday.
Yeah, I think because I tipped a few winners, that was my strongest bet for the day. I think I weighed him down. He had a bad day, poor old Inverloch, and you knew he had a problem because he just never really runs poorly. So, disappointing for connections there.
Junipal onto something bigger and better following taking out the last at Caulfield in dominant fashion yesterday. He couldn't get a run in the Sir Rupert Clark Stakes recently. Neither could I Am Superman, who was back in Sydney for Peter and Paul Snowden, went around in race six, the Shannon Stakes.
And Nicanova heads the rest as they turn for home, and Quackerjack spins in front from I Am Superman. Then came Looks Like Elvis in a bumping match there with Riordini, and Riordini got put back in a pocket. I Am Superman lays it down to Quackerjack. Looks Like Elvis sticks on. Riordini hasn't got much room. 175 out. I Am Superman kicking from Looks Like Elvis. He's strong late. I Am Superman. He's starting to pull clear. Riordini out late. Too late. I Am Superman wins the Shannon. Beat Riordini and Looks Like Elvis. Scarlet
Dream. Peter and Paul Snowden, not sure if they'll press on to the Epsom. Might even be back to Melbourne, Dino, for I Am Superman. Big week in Sydney next week with the Flight Stakes, the Epsom, the Metropolitan, and the Sprint Race, the Premier, with Nature Strip to coincide with Turnbull and Bart Cummings Day here. So great racing again next week in both Melbourne and Sydney. How did you assess this win?
Look, he's going very well, and he's a good dry track horse, and I think I can understand why they may not take up the option of next week, because he seems to just relish having his run space. So he was very good. Riordini ran well, Looks Like Elvis sound. Scarlet Dream put in one of their massive first up runs, but I've been sucked into them before, and then she doesn't quite go on. But her run to the eye and the sectional time shows that it was a terrific effort in defeat.
What was your take here, Brendan?
You would have thought he could have played a part had he got a run here last week in Melbourne, but really good there yesterday up on the speed, tough, and just when you thought they were going to get to him, he found that little bit extra. Really good Iron Superman. Riordini maybe had that little bit of excuses. Looks like Elvis was there with his chance, but I'll be keen to follow Iron Superman next time as well.
Subpoenaed had been a bit of a hard luck story in recent times. She was chasing a short price favourite in Hortbury on Her, who was dominant winning in Sydney a couple of weeks ago in the last, the Golden Pendant.
Is asked for the big effort by Tommy Berry. It's Hortbury on Her at the 200 a length clear. But Subpoenaed's putting in big strides, giving chase. It's Subpoenaed and Hortbury on Her. But Subpoenaed has put it in the bag late. And Subpoenaed goes on to win the Golden Pendant. They're queued up for the Miners. Emerald's got through. Has run second. Not sure third. Positive piece maybe from Eva Lee.
Group 2 Golden Pendant, the second last on the card at Rosehill yesterday. And Brendan, I think there was a fair bit of pressure for Hortbury on Her, setting the race up nicely for Subpoenaed.
It's a little bit slow, Horbury, on her, and just made to work a little bit to get to the lead. And Sabina, to her credit too, she was ridden a fair bit closer than what she has been. There was a bit of intent there out of the gates to have her much closer, so she didn't have as much chasing to do. She was strong late, had the right run to win, Horbury, on her. You'd have to be a little bit forgiving of her. The less than ideal getaway, and then that little bit of work, well, that lot of work that she did to find the lead in the end, told on her. Emeralds and Generals have closed off well with Evelina, but nice to see Sabina Wynn got into a nice spot to strike and beat the favourite.
She'd been unlucky, Dino, but sometimes her racing pattern had probably caused that. Sabina, what was your take on the win yesterday?
Yeah, she got clear air and a fast speed yesterday, Warren. She got a lot more in her favour than so many of her runs where she's been cluttered up and been unlucky. As soon as she got to the outside, well, it was her moment. You know, was she, you know, with no excuses, was she going to go to the line? And she went to the line really stylishly and did it well. But, fast speed, plenty of galloping room, suited her well, and she got the job done.
Sandy from Rise asked her to touch on the performance of Masked Crusader. He was a $1.55 favourite in the last, Dino. I've got a little theory about him. What was your take on Masked Crusader?
Well, I heard Wayne Hawke say he'd had two really hard runs, and that's fair enough. I was surprised he went to 1,400 yesterday, but it was a slowly run race and a dash home. And, you know, the sectional times show that, I mean, well, wasn't his best, but, I mean, he ran home 11.44, so he had no chance. Like, the on-pace runners really dominated there, and he had no chance. But I like him more as a run-on sprinter.
Yeah, that was going to be my comment too, but we'll leave that to Team Hawks to find the right race for him. You have a comment on Masked Crusader, Brendan, who I think might be having a little break now?
Yeah, I think the punters will be begging him for it to have a break. $1.55 yesterday, $1.95 second up, $1.90 first up. So he's getting plenty of the coin and not delivering. So I think they might be hoping he heads to the sea instead of the paddock, maybe a few punters.
Good wins from Attorney, Love Tap and Wild Ruler in their respective races in Sydney yesterday. Dino, do you have any other points of note from the card?
You mentioned the win of Love Tap. You know, bit of chat on social media about that he was coming off a Goulburn Class 2 to win the Gloaming, and it was a good win. He was well above standard the first 1,000 metres, little back off, and it rated as the, you know, fifth best run of the day to the time. So it was a pretty good win. He seems a pretty tough horse and did it quite well yesterday. Not a lot of him looking at him, but certainly going well at the moment as a staying prospect. And depending on who lines up in the spring champion, he's probably one of the main contenders.
Any other notes from you, Brendan, or points of interest from the meeting?
Liked Attorney's win. I thought he was really good. Would have been something beat had he not got the runs back there to the inside. Thought he had a little chance if he was going to run down here, but stayed in Sydney over 2,400 and liked the way how he put them away.
Good racing at Moonee Valley Friday night, Dino, highlighted by the Group 1 win of Pippi. We saw Glenfiddich take out the Stud Stakes. Mystic Journey back in winning form. What were your interesting points or things worth noting from the Valley Friday night?
Yeah, well, you know, Pippi, that was an absolute target race for her 1,000-metre speed race, Group 1. She's already a Group 1 winner, so that had to be her target, and she used it to advantage and won. I thought Trekking ran very well in that race, Brooklyn Hustle getting through. It was a funny race because most of the night they'd been winning off the rail, and that was the race where being sort of closer to the rail helped. But the horse that, you know, was the most interesting to me was Glenfiddich, because I think he's probably the leading Guineas chance from the Victorian trained horses, and he got the job done well. And I think if he gets a drier track, he'll go better again. And as I mentioned about the Champagne Stakes, he lines up with Ole Kirk and King's Legacy really well. So I think he's right in the mix come Guineas Day.
One via the SMS, just do you think Glenfiddich could be a legitimate Cox Plate contender, Dino?
I think the three-year-olds could be a legitimate Cox Plate contender this year, Warren. I've thought it for a while, and originally I thought it might have been Flying Award, but he's in trouble. So it's maybe Glenfiddich and maybe King's Legacy, because he's coming in fairly light to the Guineas. He's probably still got a bit of petrol in the tank, so I wonder if that's Team Snowden back in the Darley days, weren't afraid to run a three-year-old in the Cox Plate. They ran Long John and Helmet in the Cox Plate, so I wouldn't be surprised if he went there if he ran well in the Guineas.
Your take on Moonee Valley Friday night in summary, Brendan?
Yeah, Glenfiddich, good. Good to see Cherry Tortoni trekking along nicely towards the Derby. Pippi, 1,000 at Mooney Valley, suits her down to the ground. Thought she was really good, and nice to see Swats that win after Johnny might have just let Craig Williams pinch it off in there at Flemington down the straight last time. But good Glenfiddich, but Cherry Tortoni's moving to the Derby nicely.
Racing at Mornington and Kilmore today will be the early focus of Sunday Central with Brendan Delaney shortly. But now, let's get the boys' summary of racing around Australia yesterday.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
We'll start with you, Dino. Run of the day following your big day letting it ride yesterday.
Warren, I thought that Ole Kirk was the best run of the day. It was a sensational win, really, given the high pressure, and he had to barge out, and I thought it was a terrific win in the Golden Rose. And horse to follow, not for the higher races, but I thought Clean Achiever ran very well yesterday. For her right race, we can get something out of her in the next few weeks.
Great work yesterday, Dino, continuing on that terrific run. Is there anything we should be keeping an eye on at the venues throughout Victoria this afternoon?
The last race at Mornington tomorrow, and I wanted to back this horse at Flemington on Wednesday, and he was scratched, but I'll have a little something on him first up, and that's a horse called I Got You. For first run for Amy and Ashiagi. I thought he's trialled really well, race 8, number 10.
Great work, Dino. Thanks for all your help this morning.
Terrific. Thanks, Warren.
And Brendan Delaney, before you take over with Sunday Central and guide us through those previews for Mornington and Kilmore, how do you wrap up yesterday?
Run of the day, I'm going to go with Juniper. I'd like to see him back and putting his hand up. Horse I'm going to be following is Goldfields.
Great work, Brendan. What are we looking forward to outside of the Mornington and Kilmore meetings on Sunday Central coming up shortly?